The topic today is developing khushu in salah, a very important one. A man came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and he said, "O Imam, some time ago I had buried my treasure and I just cannot seem to locate it. Help me, give me some wazifa, something that I can do to find my treasure." Are we talking about a period where there were no banks and people would store their money in the ground? So this man is telling Imam Abu Hanifa, "You know, some time ago I did bury my treasure, but I just can't find it." Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied, "You know, I answer the queries of deen, the masail of fiqh. You are asking me a question which I can't answer. But anyways, I'll give you one suggestion. Go home and perform salah the entire night." So the man took the advice. He went home and he started performing salah. He says, not even a quarter of the night passed and the thoughts started coming into my mind where the treasure was. And he said, "I broke my salah and I went to the precise location and I started digging. And lo and behold, I found my money." He says, the next day I went to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and I said to him, "You know what, I found my treasure and not even a quarter of the night passed." Imam Abu Hanifa smiled and he said, "I knew the devil was not going to leave you. He was not going to let you perform salah the entire night, and it was not possible that he would let you concentrate in your salah throughout the night. And therefore he took your attention away and he started making you think where the money could be." So the message is, when we are standing in front of Rabbul Alameen, naturally the thoughts of dunya do cross our mind. But it is about combating those thoughts and trying our utmost best to come up with a salah that is presentable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last night, Sheikh Hassan spoke of a very important aspect, quantity versus quality. And we are all, alhamdulillah, performing salah. The question is, what is the quality of our salah and where can we improve? And in that light, today's program has been set up, alhamdulillah. Our esteemed guest hails from the UK. Alhamdulillah, he has also a master's degree in psychology. And alhamdulillah, together with being a scholar, he has taught at the college level. He has lectured on many subjects, including Islamic subjects. And he has served as an imam at the London Islamic Cultural Society. And alhamdulillah, currently he is spearheading a madrasa or academy named Safar Academy, where 800 plus students are studying, alhamdulillah. So despite the hectic schedule and the busy schedule, he has availed himself a few days to visit South Africa. And alhamdulillah, this is his second program in our country. We'd like to call upon our esteemed guest, Sheikh Hassan Ali, to grace this occasion and to render his beautiful advices to the audience.
Brothers, if you're sitting down, I know you're very comfortable. There are quite a few spaces which you've left empty. Our jinn brothers can always join us from behind us. They can sit on top of your heads as well. I'm being honest with you. You don't need to keep these spaces empty. If you need the pillar for your back, no problem. You do that. If you don't need it, then get off the pillar. You can always get a chair and sit behind if you want, behind the audience. But I want you to fill the gaps up. Could you just do that for me? Fill the gaps up. Because the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu majma'in, used to sit in a way that there was hardly any gaps in between. So if you fill it up. You're going to sit there anyway. If you come a bit closer, you'll be right under the angels. So angels are going to be in the middle of the crowd. So if you're in the outskirts, unless you've got a problem because of which you need to sit away, that's fine. Otherwise, come and fill in the gaps. Jazakumullah khair. How long have I got? 45. So your adhan is at what, 8:30? So I've got 50 minutes. And sisters are also listening. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين
وقال تعالى قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون
صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters, firstly, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's lovely to be here with you, come so attentively, and you're here, and I'm only an individual that is trying to spread a small message to you. I'm a small individual, I'm no one big, I'm no Hazrat, I'm no Ala Hazrat, I'm no bigger than Ala Hazrat, I'm just a normal person like you, trying to give you a message. If you listen attentively, then I'll be able to give you a message more clearly. And if you sit there, if you sit here wanting to listen to some next level story, you know, our people, they sometimes they get accustomed to wanting to listen to the next story that they've never heard. So then what happens is you become people who came just to hear a story, and you'll go back, you heard a story, but you won't really go back with any practice. If you sit here to want to actually do something, then you get the benefit of doing something. Do you guys understand? You don't understand? When I speak to you, you have to reply to me. If you don't reply to me, then you don't understand. I might as well talk in Bengali. Do you guys understand? Yes or no? See, you know, I'm talking globally here, okay? I'm not talking locally, okay? The next example I give is globally. So I don't want anyone to give me a problem when I go through immigration, when I go through back to my country, okay? It's a global example. So this is an example about politicians in general. Okay, not locally, but globally. You know, politicians normally they say things and we get very excited. Then afterwards, nothing happens, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing happens. Sometimes things happen, sometimes don't happen. So one person gave a beautiful example. He said there was a king. So this is your story for now, yeah? Yeah, okay. There was a king, and the king held a big massive party, okay? So he gave out lavish food, and he had, you know, all sorts of people come, and amongst them was a jester, amongst them was a joker, amongst them was a magician playing tricks, and amongst them came this poet. And the poet came, and the king had the opportunity to listen to this poet. This poet said, "King, let me say a few words about you." So the king said, "Okay, go ahead." So the poet said wonderful words, subhanallah, you know, wonderful poetry about the king, and he praised the king. The king said to his minister, he said, make sure later on you give him 10,000 silver coins. So after a little while, the poet said, "King, can I say another poet in your royal majesty's favor?" He said, "Go ahead." So when the poet said another poem, the king was shaking his head and said, make sure later on you give him another 10,000 silver coins. And like that, all night, about 3 or 4 poetry he said, 5 poetry he said. So now he's owed 50,000 silver coins, right? So the night finished, everybody left. The poet thought, okay, later on I'll come back and get my 50,000 silver coins. So a few days passed and a few weeks passed, nothing happened. So then the poet comes back to the king's kingdom, comes to his palace, and he says, "Your Royal Highness, I've just got one thing to say." And the king said, "What?" He said, "Do you remember me? I'm the poet that sang those poems on that night, you know, and you got so, you know, you're so happy with what I said. You said, give 10,000. He said, "Yeah, you know, one problem is that I haven't received a single penny." So the king said, "Hey, listen." He said, "That night what happened was that you made my ears sweet, and I made your ears sweet." You guys understand? What happened is you said some poetry, you made me feel good. And I said later on, give him 10,000 silver coins, I made your ears feel good, I made you feel good. I said we both made each other's ears sweet. But this giving and taking, I don't understand that. What's there to give and take? What's this 50,000? What are you talking about? There's nothing to give, nothing to take. You made my ear sweet, I made you ear sweet. Now I can sit here, my God, you got that about the politicians, yeah? You understand, yes? Or you guys don't understand? You understand, yes? That's it. You know, you make yourself sweet, right? So I could sit here and become like one of those where I say something and you say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Allah Akbar, Takbir, Allah Akbar. And I get excited and I get you excited, the whole hour goes by like that. Then once we walk by there, there's nothing, give or take. You understand? There's no point of doing that. So we're sitting here with the intention that you're going to hear something, I'm going to say something which I should act upon or which you should act upon. Now the whole thing is about salah here, about our prayer. Now what happens is, subhanallah al-azim, sometimes you're looking for a solution and it's already under your nose and you don't even know about it. Have you ever been in a situation where you're looking for your keys? You're looking for your keys. Where's my keys? Where's my keys? And you're looking for your keys. So you go and look on the sofa, it's not there. On the table, it's not there. He's looking in the coat pocket, it's not there. And then you go, you say, where's my keys? Hey, Fatima, where's my keys? Because I don't know, the way you, normally when you ask the wife, where's my keys, she gives a lovely answer. She says, it's where you left them. My God. I love that one. Where's my keys? It's where you left them. Obviously, it's where I left them. You guys understand? So anyway, you guys looking, he goes in the bedroom, comes downstairs and all that while, has this ever happened to you that the keys were either in your hands or they were in your pocket, your own pocket, and you never realized, only dumb person here. It's happened, right? So if the solution is with you, you don't even know, you're looking everywhere else. My brothers, my sisters that are listening, the solution to a lot of our problems, right? Every single problem you want to, you have, every problem you have, the solution is right under our nose. It's given to us, it's there, it's on our plate. It's in our hands, it's in our pocket. But what we're doing is we're searching elsewhere for solutions. So you ask anyone today, you got a problem, what do? You got a problem straight away, you go and talk to someone about your solution, about your problem, you look for a solution. You go far and wide. Sometimes people are looking into books that are to do with therapy. Some self-motivated books, some self-therapy books. Go and we get some downloads from the internet. Go far and wide and look for anybody who's got the solution to my problem. Is there anyone who understands my problem? So you go here, you go there, you go here, you go there. And in the end, you're left tired. And what you don't realize is Allah Azza wa Jal has given us not only a beautiful religion, but He's given us a beautiful solution for all the things you need. Now, it's a solution for all the things you need. Now, you're going to say to me, you know, Shaykh, you're going a bit too far there, you know? You're going a bit too far there, you know? Because if religion gave you the solutions to all the problems, then why do you, as a Shaykh, and all the other Imams have got problems, huh? Huh? We're not stupid, huh? You guys understand what I'm saying? You guys understand or you don't understand? Can you respond with me? Because I think you guys have never had anyone in a bayan ever talk to you. You guys understand? Because it's a valid point. If the imam is saying you got a solution to all the problems, then why is the imam in problem himself? Then he should use the solution to get himself out of all the problems, right? But there's a trick to this. It is a solution to all the problems, but it's the way you look at it. It's the way you look at something. Because if you say solution to all your problems means all my problems disappear, then I tell you one thing, my friend, you become a Muslim, or you become a Christian, or you become a Jew, or you become an atheist, or you become a person who's a Hindu, you become a person with religion, no religion, you become a person with anything, Buddhist, whatever, you become a person who's a normal human, you become a scientist, you become anything you want. As a human being, you will never, ever, ever get rid of all your problems on this earth. Because the world's been designed like that. The brother comes up to me and says, Imam, he says, I'm looking for a wife. I said, okay, what are you looking for? He said, oh, she's got to be good, huh? She's got to be good. So, okay, tell me, describe me. So he said, oh, she's got to be good, she's got to look good, she's got to be beautiful, she's got to be smart, she's got to be intelligent, she's got to be bright, she's got to have the degrees, she's got to be loyal to me, she's got to be truthful, she's got to be someone who just, you know, does what I say, she's got to be one who follows the Quran, so she's got to be this, she's got to be that, she's got to be one that doesn't give me problems, she's got to be blah, 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 blah. By the time he's finished, I say, brother, I know where your wife is. I know her, I can tell you where she is. He said, please, Imam, sir, tell me where is she? I said, she's in Jannah.
You guys understand?
Any of you guys here sitting here today, and all the sisters that are listening to this, if you ever start your marital relationship that my husband is the most perfect husband, or my wife is the most Bollywood type of star that you can ever imagine, somebody who can never go wrong with you, you are living a lie. A lie. There is no such woman, there is no such man on the earth. If they were here, then we're in Jannah. And you know we're not. You know we're not in Jannah. Everything here has been created in a way that is not perfect. Allah purposefully made this. Because he said, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. I want you to test to see which one of you is going to come out to be the best in action. Allah has said in the Holy Quran, He said, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. I have made some of you a means of a test for others. أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Will you hold yourselves back? وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. While your Lord is watching above, watching you, what you're doing. So the whole point of life is that you're going to be tested. Now, if you're going to say to me, Imam Sahib, you know, you said there's a solution to all your problems, so why don't you get rid of all your problems? I'm going to tell you how I get rid of all the problems. But it's a different way you look at it. Why? Because the person who has a problem, and everybody has got their problems, that person who's got a problem, you come with different problems. Everyone's got different problems, okay? And with our different problems, We want a solution, and we want our problems to go away. Allah Azza wa Jal says this because He knows we've got problems. He knows we have problems. He gave us the problems. He gave it on purpose. And I want to tell you one thing before you leave the masjid. If you ever come to religion because religion is going to sort out all your problems for you, it's not. Religion will give you the keys to all your problems, and it's going to give you one special key. What's it going to give you? Do you have a master key? Do you have a master key for something, right? A master key. You understand a master key? What do you call it? Skeleton key? Master key? Yes? Master key. So he's going to give you keys for many doors, but he's going to give you one master key. If you can have the master key, then you can open any door. Do you want to know what the master key is? Wait, do you know what the... I asked you a question first, right? And actually, you got the answer wrong. Do you know what the master key, do you want to know what the master key is, yes or no?
Yes.
Right, about 10 people said yes. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Do you want to know what the master key is, yes?
Yes.
Brothers are sitting here thinking, oh, ma'am, sir, give me the master key, please. I want to sort out for my life. If my wife becomes better, my life is better, okay? Give me the master key, I need it right now, please. I'm going to tell you the master key. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. Allah knows who we are. O you who believe. Why does Allah call us with O you who believe? O you who have said the shahada, O you who have said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness there is no other real God, there is no other deity, there is no one who can look after me, there is no one who's looked after me. There is no one who gives me sustenance. There is no one who keeps me going. Illallah, except for Allah. O you who have said the shahada, la ilaha illallah. Ista'inu, if you want some help, I'll tell you how to get your help. Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. If you want to get help, then you come to me for help. But you come to me with two things that you need. One is something which you have to do yourself. Another thing you have to do in front of me. And if you do all of that, then you will see a difference that will come towards you. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, you want to seek help, ista'inu, seek help, bisabri, by showing me that you can have patience. If you have patience, then you have got a massive portion. Was salah, after you have patience, then you come and you offer your salah towards me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You might have had many different problems in your life, and you come to me with these many different problems, but as you come, I will give you solutions to some of your problems, but I will never give you solutions in this earth to all your problems. You will come to me and say, Ya Allah, I'm making dua to you. I will listen to your dua. أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your duty is to make dua to me, and my duty is to decide which one of your duas to answer. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِندَنَا خَزَائِنُ. O my servants, you have to understand that there is nothing that is deficient in my kingdom. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِندَنَا خَزَائِنُ. Nothing you ever will wish for, nothing that could ever exist, but I have plenty of that with me. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. But I will not give it except in due portion of what I want to give and how much I want to give. يَبْسُطُ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Yes, my servants, you have come to me and you have asked me to open the doors for you and expand everything for you and expand all the different rizq and all the different provisions for you. But I, as Allah, have decided, يَبْسُطُ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. I, as Allah, I have the right to expand the rizq and expand the provisions for whoever I want, and I will close it for whoever I want. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُنْسِكَ لَهَا. Once I open my treasure doors open to you, then there is no one that can close them again. وَمَا يُمْسِكَ. And once I close something, there is nobody that can release them again. This is Allah Azza wa Jalla who decides what to give. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah says, if I was to open all my provisions for everyone, if every human came and I answered every single person's dua, this man says that he wants to become rich, and that man says he wants to become rich, and that one says he wants to become rich, and all of them come to me and they all say they want to become rich. All of them say they want to become millionaires. All of them come to me and say they want to become billionaires. I have the power to do this. I have the power to make them all millionaires. I can make them all billionaires. But if I was to open it for them, لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, then all of them will continue to fight with one another, and there'll be huge corruption on the earth. You guys understand? You guys understand, yes or no? Respond. You understand? Now, the thing is, Allah said, you come for help. Allah didn't say, come for help, and He didn't say, bis salati wa sabr. You gotta understand this. He could have said, come for the solution of your problems. Number one, you offer your salah, and number two, you do sabr. No, 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 no. You don't open the Quran, you see. In fact, in two places, in surah, this is in surah Baqarah, ayah number 153, and in surah Baqarah, ayah number 45, you find Allah says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Again, Allah says, seek help through, what did Allah say first? Patience first, and then salah. Now the big question is, why did Allah say patience first and then salah? Why didn't Allah say salah first and patience? Which one is bigger in terms of our pillars of Islam? Which one is bigger? Come on guys, which one is bigger? After Iman, what is it? What Allah should have said is istainu bis salati wa sabr, but He didn't. He said istainu bis sabri wa salah. There's a big reason why. Because, oh my servants, you will come to me and you will ask me and you will have hope, and I want to also give you. You want something and I want to give it to you. But you have a knowledge and I have a knowledge. Your knowledge is limited and I am Allamul Ghuyub. I have knowledge of everything, of the seen and the unseen. There are certain things that you want. عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرُّ لَكُمْ. There are certain things that you love to have, but I know it's not going to be good for you. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you come to me and you don't ask me for something, but I want to give it to you. You don't like it, but I know it's good for you, so I will give it to you. Because Allah says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah is the one who has knowledge of everything. Allah has also the wisdom of everything. He doesn't just have the knowledge, but He has the wisdom of knowing what to apply, when to apply. This is Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why Allah said in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, because of your belief, you will come running towards me in the masjid. You will come in your houses, you will stand on your prayer mats, and you want to pray to me with the hope that your du'as are going to be accepted. I am going to tell you first that before you offer your salah, I want you to have something inside you. I want you to have sabr, I want you to have patience. because of the fact that I've already decided I'm not going to give you everything you want, because of the fact that this is not Jannah, because of the fact that you're in the dunya and you have to be tested. Therefore, all the du'as that you're going to make to me, some of them will be answered and some of them will not be answered. For those du'as that are not answered, I am asking you and I'm telling you that you're going to need sabr for that thing. Do you understand? Do you guys understand? You come to me and you say to me, I want a son, I want a son, I want a son. And I give you daughter, I give you daughter, I give you daughter. You look at everybody else and you say, they've got sons. I went to Allah so many times, I never got sons. I had three daughters and that's all I had. I never got a son in my life. But what you don't realize is on the day of judgment when you get up, your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whosoever has three daughters and they raise them up with a good Islam and they raise them up with a good tarbiyah and a good way, then my Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, then in the return of that you will get Jannah. In the return of that you got easy entry to Jannah. Just because you have three daughters and I never gave you anything else, or maybe sometimes you might have a son with the daughters. Just because you have three daughters and you raise them and in a nice way, your entry into Jannah has already been given to you here, the tickets to Jannah, going to Jannah.